They are going to become more brutal.
Corny cut, henny cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Their phone number is
651-304-9986. Ho Trunk Raja, Wakunjahare, Hinga Dena, Hey Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahare, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and Twin City Native American issues. All issues are people issues, Wendy. And wow, we're really excited. I'm here with Oglema, and I put an L in there again, and Wendy Pilot. Welcome, everybody, to the show here.
Welcome.
Welcome, Oglema. Hey, Wendy, there's a couple things I want to talk to you about before we jump in with the news. And one of the things is that we have some celebrations.
We have a lot of celebrations today. We had so many people who were sworn in today for their legislator or representative and state senators, and we're really happy. Just to name a couple of them right now, we want to congratulate Mary Kunish, Aaron Murphy, Lindsay Port, Audrey Thayer, Heather Keeler, and Red Dawn. And we will get back and talk about some more later on.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, one of the things that it's exciting, we're on 5 days a week here on AM 950 and all across Turtle Island. I want to really appreciate, throw out a shout out to all the people and all the people that have been listening and supporting us for 3 years. So we used to be on Saturdays from 1 to 3, and now we're on 5 days a week. And how did we used to start the show there, Wendy?
Well, we started it off by saying hello to everybody. What do you want me to say, Robert? I don't know.
With the news, with Oglema.
With the news.
You've got to listen to the show sometime.
I listen to the show every week. So Oglema always helps us with the news, and she starts off the show. So that's what we're going to do right now.
Let's put it over.
Hi, Buju, everybody. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. I am Oglema Ganuikwe, and I'm here with a little bit of news for you. So this story was originally posted by Gaylord News and then republished by the Indians.com website. But the Smithsonian National Museum of American History has now included a red gown honoring missing and murdered Indigenous women in their new exhibit called Girlhood. So the exhibit was created to commemorate the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage by showcasing how women have changed history in five areas: politics, education, work, health, and fashion. In 2018, Isabella Cornell, who is a member of the Choctaw Nation, wore the red gown to her junior prom. The dress was custom made by a Crow designer, Della Big Hair Stump, and it was made specifically for Isabella to bring awareness to the MMIW issue at her school. At the time in 2018, Isabella got a ton of media coverage about her gown. It was bright red, and it had these Choctaw diamond patterns across the front on the bodice of the dress. So in 2019, Isabella and her mother were contacted by the Smithsonian to include the gown in their exhibit. So her dress is actually at the center of the fashion section on display, and it's going to tour with the Smithsonian Institute on their traveling exhibition service from 2023 through 2025. And kind of more world news, I know we talk about how all issues of humans are native issues, but there's some promising reports coming out of Thailand. So Bloomberg reported that Thailand has actually approved the use of an herbal remedy for treating COVID-19 in its early stages of infections. So this plant is known as green chereta, and the herbal treatment is given on a voluntary basis for those ages 18 through 60 who are experiencing minor symptoms and within 72 hours of confirming the infection. So the extract from this plant is known as Pha Thai Lai Jong in Thai, and they believe it can curb the virus and reduce the severity of inflammation, according to studies that they've done on it in Thailand. So human trials have showed that patient conditions improved within 3 days of the treatment without side effects if the medication was administered within 72 hours of testing positive. So the Thai FDA has approved that, but they have also opened the channel and are hoping for a speedy distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine as well. In other news, we do have from the Minnesota Reformer information to them alerting us about an agreement that the city of Minneapolis had with the state's Department of Human Rights. So there was an agreement in the aftermath of George Floyd, and the agreement was to help reduce police abuses and increase transparency of the department's disciplinary actions. The order also includes a ban on chokeholds and requires officers to physically intervene if they witness excessive force. So, however, the Reformer's reporting that now nearly 6 months after George Floyd has been murdered, they have not actually seen the city take action on a key provision, which is alerting the public to cases of police misconduct by posting the disciplinary decisions to its website. So the Reformer reviewed 195 disciplinary cases from the Minneapolis Police Department and found that the cases of misconduct were taking an average of 539 days. Since the court order took effect, the police chief, Medario Arredondo, has made decisions on 66 cases dating back to 2019. However, none of them are posted because the city is saying that the case is being challenged by the union or because the city's disciplinary panel made its recommendation before the court order. So the city did not tell the Minnesota Reformer how many cases are being challenged by the union. But there is, a certain level of, discomfort that's happening right there. So I just wanted to kind of give everybody an update. I know George Floyd is still, pretty fresh in our minds as, even though as we move into 2021, that's something that really changed all of our lives in a pretty significant way. Right, Robert?
Yeah. Yes, it did. Definitely. Wow, we got a little technical difficulties. I know we're not on Facebook Live or audio, so I was just checking that out. Wendy, pretty amazing there. I wasn't quite on top of it right there.
Yeah, thanks so much, Emma. You do just a great job every day doing the news and giving us updates, so we really appreciate that.
Absolutely, anytime.
That's great. Okay, so let's get Nancy Bolio.
Okay, yeah, let's pop them on. That's right. Let's add Nancy. There's Nancy right there. Welcome, Nancy. Maybe you can give us a quick update. What's going on, Nance? I don't know if Nancy can hear us. Can you hear us, Nancy?
Okay, Nancy can't hear us either. Boy, we're really having problems here today, but that's okay. Let's forget about the StreamYard and Facebook, and let's concentrate on the radio show, and we will get through this today. So can Nancy hear us? Okay.
Okay. Well,
move along.
Okay. So why don't we take a quick break, and why don't we go out with some bumper music then? Looks like you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're back to as a radio show, Wendy.
Yeah, that's what we are here.
Let me, why don't you and Ogama talk for a second here while I'm trying to get a hold of our guest on the phone here.
Okay. Ogama, how are you today? And we are here on Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
Yeah, I am hanging in there today. Nothing like technical issues to exactly. Start off your new year, right?
Well, I'm excited that we are going to be broadcast in Chicago and in Milwaukee. And that's going to be really awesome. And then every day at the end of the show, I'm going to be giving updates on our sacred animals. And, you know, a lot of people think about animals as far as Native American being animals like wolves and bears and eagles, what else, turtles, coyotes, buffaloes. But I talk about all kinds of different animals on the radio show. So
that's awesome. Hey, I wonder, do we have Nancy Bolio on the air, on the line here?
Yeah, Robert, and just to let you know, we have no audio.
Well, that's we understand. That's why I called you on the phone.
All right.
Cool. So maybe we can get Dan on in the second part and do a two call into one. But can you give us any updates of what you've seen, what's happening here on Turtle Island? You know, I know a lot of things have been happening up north with Line 3. And so do you have any updates on that, Nance?
Well, yeah, for those that weren't tuning in last week, I just want to throw it out there again that on December 24th, there was a lawsuit to halt the Line 3 pipeline alleging a faulty approval process, and that 404 water permit on behalf of the Army Corps approval failed to address several environmental issues and when it was approved. And then the Army Corps issued that permit with without authorizing. This pipeline actually violates multiple federal laws and treaties, and it causes irreparable harm to the plaintiffs. So, Robert, we know that, you know, here in our ceded lands, that there's a responsibility on behalf of, you know, our agencies and our elected officials to honor the treaties, and they were intended for us to be good neighbors. So they have filed that lawsuit in a federal court, and that was filed on behalf of Red Lake and White Earth and Honor the Earth and Sierra Club, and then Red Lake and several other groups like the Youth Interveners have filed separate injunctions. So we see that taking place, and we hope sometime in the next week or two we get some response on that. And just on Saturday, there was an action in Palisade, and with good hearts, people held the road where the equipment couldn't come in, and they sang and they prayed. And there was a group about 30 or more, and then the people that stood and held the line, 12 were given tickets, misdemeanor tickets. Two were held in Aiken County with further charges. And so, again, there was action on Saturday that was more direct action up in Red Lake. They're still working on their treaty camp and just put up a yurt on Sunday. So I think that's just a beautiful addition to that treaty stand in Red Lake. And in White Earth, those talks are happening tonight about moving forward with a host camp and resistance camp in White Earth. And this upcoming week or so, we're going to see some more actions taking place. And without giving out too much information, all people need to do is just reach out to Water Protectors or WelcomeWaterProtectors.org and find out ways they could show up and support the camps. And that could be on the front line or, you know, helping us pray or, you know, financially supporting us. So just keep in touch with some of the orgs out there like GNU Collective, Stopline3.org, Rise Coalition, MN350, Sierra Club. There's so many different ways people can show up and stay updated.
Wow, that's awesome. I know there's a lot going on up there. I mean, there isn't one front line. We have Fond du Lac. We have all these great warriors up there protecting the water. I think Fond du Lac once in a while gets left out of the mix. And then Red Lake really stepped in, Nancy.
Right, they did. And, you know, I think they're making a powerful stand. It's based on, you know, treaties and our right to exist and be here because, you know, again, most of our non-Native people would think that these treaties are not a part of, you know, their obligation. But, you know, that's what we do at Minnesota 360. We're out teaching people that everyone, we're all treaty people, Robert. So big kudos and a big shout out to Red Lake Nation for making that stand and, you know, making us feel all good about who we are and and proud to be who we are.
Well, you know, we, you and I have a history on Tuesdays, and you know, our next guest at on the next segment, in a good way, we really Wendy opened up the show with all these great politicians that have been on Rock the Vote Native Style that have won, and that has so much to do with all your work and the people's work up north in the deep north, we like to call it, and you know, 9,000 people were registered, new registers, you know, Native Americans.
Right. And today's, it was actually, even yesterday was an exciting day. We had Audrey Thayer, Bemidji City Council Ward 1, get sworn in. I know, I think Liz Jocula was sworn in this week or maybe tonight. And today, you know, like my awesome shirt here, Heather for House. Yeah, so I have a lot of good smiles today because I feel that there's a lot of breath, our fresh air coming, you know, our way, and I think we have a place at the table, and the appointment of Deb Holland means a lot too. So yeah, we got to continue to work hard into 2022 and beyond, and start showing up.
Yeah, and 2022 is a focus now, and also tonight we can't wait to get off the show for more reasons than one. Maybe the audio on Wendy's laughing. We'll get you on the air. Go ahead, laugh again, Wendy. Maybe we'll have some good news in the national election too with what's happening in Georgia.
Right, we want to see that turn blue, and we got to take control over the Senate, you know, because there's a lot of good work to do, and if we don't take control of the Senate, you know, a lot of things are going to get stopped, and we're just going to see some of the same stuff we've seen in these last 4 years, and, you know, we're not about that no more, Robert, so we got to really work hard and just keep showing up in all different kind of ways. When I say show up, I mean that's a city council meeting, that's the county commissioners meeting, because every government, every level of government, local, state, and federal, they all matter. And, you know, we got to show up at every table there is out there. And so that's why I think yesterday and today, the ceremony swearing in our relatives and our allies like Den McEwen, I mean, that has to encourage us to keep working hard, Robert, because that's what's going to find us justice in the future. And today we are, you know, being led by some powerful women that are leading that way. And our guest tonight is Dan Jourdain from Red Lake. And so, you know, he's our brother, and we want to support him as well.
Right. We'll have to get him a phone, too, so he's maybe we could, during the commercial break.
My old school.
Yeah, exactly. We, you know, I think, could you just talk a little bit about, we got a few more minutes in this segment because we went short the first time, but can you talk a little bit about all the great politicians that came up to Palestine and checked out what's happening for their own line eyes on what's happening in line three.
Yeah, right. You know, I think one of them referred to themselves as the junior legislators, you know, and I think, you know, that's a good way to put it because it really puts them on the front lines of the injustice that we've had by, you know, some of the politicians that are holding these seats and, you know, not to, say anything in a bad way, but I think we're learning our lesson with Walz. And you know what? What's good about these junior legislators is that they're going to show up, and they're going to show up in some powerful ways. And we've seen that at Palisade. We had Jen McEwen, Mary Kunish Bodine, and you know I can't remember all the names, but there I think there was about 11 that day, and they wanted to see for themselves what was going on. And, you know, one thing they really did notice is that this is not a replacement. It's actually a relocation. And it, and that's what's so devastating about this is that companies like Enbridge, not only lobby, they lie and they get away with it. And so it's nice to see these legislators, step out of their comfort zones and come out to the front lines to see, you know, through our lens, what the truth is. And the truth is that we cannot allow line three because it's equivalent to 50 coal plants burning day in and day out. And, you know, that's really going to set us back here in Minnesota. And, you know, that's not our treaty responsibility to tear up this earth. It means to respect it. So I think having those legislators in the House, especially our Native sister, Heather and Mary, I think they're going to do a lot of good teachings. And that's what I'm going to pray for.
Well, they seem really, really excited to be there, and us knowing them from a peripheral kind of relationship is really exciting to see how excited they are.
Right, and that's the good energy they bring, you know, and that's what's inspiring to us to keep working hard. If we can get a group like this, let's build on it in 2022 and 2024. So remember, Robert, our work wasn't done on November 3rd. It was just beginning. So I think we're going to continue to hold space. I think we're going to continue to educate our people why primaries are important as a general election, and we're just going to continue holding space treaty style as well and just educating people along the way, and we're going to find a better place for all of us. And I think, you know, that's why I appreciate working for Minnesota 350 and hanging out with cool allies like yourself and people I meet in this movement. That's what's encouraging, Robert. And you're not going to know about it until you show up and feel that good energy. And I want to get back on the front lines in a good way, Robert, but there's a lot of paperwork to do too to make some of this stuff happen, and that means educating.
Right on.
So,
well, let's kick the bumper music in there, Ogilma, and then take a break. And then I'm going to try and redo something here on our StreamYard and get everybody rocking and rolling. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, Minneapolis. It's Randy Rhodes on your radio in the heart of the Midwest every weeknight from 10 to midnight on AM 950.
Welcome back to the experimental show, Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
But Robert, it's all about the recovery. It's all about the recovery. And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And their phone number is 651-304-9986. So give them a call if you have any questions about COVID-19, getting tested, vaccines, housing assistance, and food insecurities.
Right on. Hey, keep your fingers crossed. Let's see who's online here. It's okay. Either Dan Jardain or Nancy Bolio. Who's there?
Dan.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for stopping by our experimental show here. When I try to merge the calls with Fancy Nancy, somebody gets bumped off. So we're going to try and do this without Nancy for a little bit here. And then we get close here. We'll get her back on. But Dan, tell everybody who you are. And you've been on our shows so many times. This is just awesome to see you. And talk about your election a little bit, Dan Jardain. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Well, thank you, Robert, Emma, and Wendy for the platform, for taking the time this evening. I appreciate that. I'm Dan Jardain, running for the Councilor at Large position here in the city of Bemidji. Right now we're in a special election. Our primary was November 3rd, 2020, and we advanced to the general election here, which is February 9th, 2021. Early voting has opened up in the city of Bemidji. One of the reasons I talked about running in this position, it was kind of a toss-up in early July, where we made this decision to, you know, be in this space, and it's been amazing run so far. And it's all about community and what the community wants and what the community deserves. I'm more of a community person. I consider myself that. So I believe I'm bringing the best representation to the table, new ideas, and I'm all about partnerships and building that and creating opportunity for the city of Bemidji. And, you know, today, Robert, and what I've seen today was some of these elected officials taking oath of office. We've seen Heather Keeler down at the state being sworn in. We had Tim Sumner locally up here in Beltrami County. And yesterday we had elect Audrey Thayer to the Bemidji City Council. So seeing all of this movement all over, it's telling you that, you know, things are changing. Things are very promising for the Native American community, where we actually have representation at the table and we have a voice at the table, and we can voice these concerns And all we're trying to do is make these platforms a lot more equal. We want just better partnerships and to have a better working relationship with, you know, some of the things that we're dealing with. So that's under my platform in Bemidji. See, now we're surrounded by the three largest reservations, which is Red Lake Reservation, White Earth Reservation, and Leech Lake Reservation. For these big economic development boosters to our city, we want to create that better partnership for these guys. We want to show the city of Bemidji that we care about these guys. We want to open this bridge and, you know, create a better partnership with these guys, because I believe that opportunity begins with partnerships, and that's what I'm trying to do here at the city of Bemidji. The support has been great. I believe the people that have been coming to Native Roots Radio have been very supportive. Who was that? I believe it's Mary Kudnish-Podine, who is a very large supporter of the campaign, and she's doing an amazing job doing her as well, being elected to the new position. And this is just amazing, Robert, to see all of these new officials come into these large areas, and especially for my campaign to move forward. That tells you something, that, you know, the people want change. The people deserve this type of change, especially for the city of Bemidji, who never really had that representation of a Native American or an ethnic background, for that matter. So, like I said, Robert, we're making good headway, and we're sitting really good right now with the city council and our movement towards that seat.
Yeah, it's totally exciting, and we got to give a lot of props to Nancy Bolio and Rock the Vote Native Style, just to get people known. I mean, you know, I didn't know you. I didn't know Heather Keeler, and a lot of people didn't. And just the capacity that she's brought to us to meet all these great people running for office. And I know there was a few people that didn't get further than the primary or the election, but you got to take a second look at it. I think it's just the Native wave is really, really coming out. And I'm so excited to see that.
Yes. And when you talked about Nancy Bolio and her efforts, they had this organization where they registered a large portion of the Native American population in this area. We cannot give enough credit to Nancy for them efforts and her crew that put in the time to drive people around to the polls and to say, this is why your voice matters. This is why you need to go out and vote, because we can't sit around no more. We can't listen to the politicians make these decisions without us. We have to have people supportive like that. And like when we see Nancy and her team, man, they just paved the way. They did an amazing job. And like to see record numbers, that speaks volume of what our Native people are capable of doing and being a part of that change as well. So, you know, Nancy, thank you for the effort. Native Roots Radio, you guys are awesome for, you know, showcasing some of these things that people really didn't know about. And as we went along, we've seen other people from, I think that was down south there. We had another gal who popped up on the radar. So all of this teamwork effort, that's what it's about, Robert. All of this team effort that the Native people put together, it's what we really need to do, because I believe we're waking up into this momentum shift where, you know, we really are represented, and let's not stop this momentum. It's really great to see progressive development all around us. When we talk about Duluth, Moorhead, Minneapolis area, especially the Bemidji area, all over Minnesota, we just have good representation of Native Americans on these levels. So let's not stop this momentum. Let's keep supporting. Mm-hmm. And like I said, this is probably the only race going on in Minnesota, and it's being paid a lot of close attention right now. And like I said, we're getting good feedback from the community as well.
Tell everybody how, one, they can support you, and how soon is this election happening?
Right now, the polls here are open. They started early voting, the absentee voting. People can go to my website. It's a very user-friendly website at www.danjourdain.com. From there, you can find tabs. Even local people have been signing up for volunteer opportunities, which we are coming up with within the upcoming weeks here. So we have opportunities for people to be involved. From there, you can make a donation if you are not able to volunteer in some capacity. So we're always looking at everybody being a part of this change. We don't want to leave anybody behind. We want everybody's voice heard. Make sure you go to that website, www.danjourdain.com. And the Facebook link is Elect Dan Jourdain, facebook.com/ElectDanJourdain. So like I said, you can volunteer or you can make a donation, contribution, however you like. We just want to involve everybody in our process. And like you said, Robert, it's going amazing.
Well, it was funny, too, because we were doing some shows. And during the show, I think it was the last day that you could sign up for the election. And people talked about it during the show that you signed up. And we're really, really excited that you stepped up to run. So I remember that night. What were your thoughts, and how close did you do from not signing up?
We were sitting around. Actually, it was a picnic, and Bemidji here is one of the places. So Audrey was there, the mayor was there, and it was just this encouraging thing. Well, like, hey, the at-large position is open. You better fill that position. And I took second thought because the last day was the next day when they told me. So, you know, we went forward with that. We're like, well, let's make this happen because, you know, I believe that this city of Bemidji, God, we had one of the biggest deals with the Beltrami County vote, refugee vote, and those things are really affected me. Like, well, who's going to change this platform? Who's going to change the view of Bemidji? Who's going to make the next chapter a good one for Bemidji and probably Beltrami County? And I was thinking, I sat back, well, hey, let's move forward with this. Let's pursue it. I felt that, you know, me being really involved with the community and trying to be a part of that change, I felt that throwing my name in that ballot in that position will help create some momentum towards changing some of the things. So it was tough. We didn't know what we were doing. It's a first-time campaign. And the best thing to do is get out there and speak your truth, speak your volume, and tell the people why you really want this change. And they believe it, you know. They really resonate with the people who feel that passion for change. And like I said, we moved along in November, which is our primary. Mm-hmm. We come in second place with a very high number in Bemidji. A lot of people were wondering if we were going to move along, but you know, if you have a heart for this community and a heart for change, I say anything's possible. You can do anything. And being in this position now, I think we're sitting good. February 9th, 2021, we will know how the voting turns out. And we are very optimistic that this position will be turned over to the sign behind me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're excited. And we just want to thank you so much for being on. And it's just really, really exciting to see a young Native person like yourself take the bull by the horns and really run with this. And, you know, the women lead the way, but, you know, us men need to step up too, Dan.
Yeah, and I can't thank Audrey Thayer enough, who's been a great mentor to me. Back in 2012, when I did go to college and earn my law enforcement degree, that's when I come across Audrey, and she's been, you know, in the back of my eye ever since. And she is elected to the Bemidji City Council now, and I was with her at the city council meeting last night. And you can see the differences of the new council, how they're shaping out without a full team. And they did bring up efforts of waiting for the at-large position to make some of these decisions. So, like I said, once momentum comes, once the election's done, we're pretty hopeful that we get on this position and make progress and just hit the ground running from the start, because we need this voice at the table. We want everybody to be a part of this platform of this change, because they this change. Bemidji has never been this progressive before with ethnic backgrounds or diversity. So we want to change the image of that and give everybody an opportunity at the same time, regardless of what their preference, their character, culture, anything. We just want to give people better opportunity here. And we just need to make it better. We can do a lot better here in Bemidji, and that's why my voice is standing out to show people that we can do this together, guys. Come on, we get it together.
Dan, thank you so much for spending some time with us, and really, we can't wait and support you. Pini Gigi for being on.
So thank you guys for the time. I can't thank you guys enough for the work you have done previously and continue to reach out to the campaign. I appreciate that. Ogumo, Robert, and Wendy, thank you guys for the support. It's been great. And also Nancy and Audrey, too.
Ahood, for sure. Wow, that was awesome, Wendy.
Awesome. Yeah, I hope that he gets in and does what he needs to do, because Bemidji needs a lot of good change and he could bring it. So,
well, I wonder if Ogumo can hit the bumper music here and we'll get out of this section. Let's check it out. Let's see if she can do it. Slowly coming up. Okay, it's not coming up. All right. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. We'll be back after this short break. Hey, Wendy. Oh, yeah, it reminds us back in the days when we first started this show.
I know, and it's been over 3 years, and, you know, we're still figuring it out. So there you go. I mean, there's just a, you know, there isn't a way to do StreamYard on the radio, so we just have to concentrate on being on the radio.
Oh, well, says you.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So, Wendy, why don't you take your segment here and
and go with it.
Go with it, yeah.
So my name is Wendy Pilot, and my Native American name is Hanaji Hihani. And I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis West. And he's going to be on the show on Friday. So you could tune in on Friday and listen to Curtis. I'm a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States. So I work on all different kinds of animal issues. And animals are really important to me. All animals are. And like I was saying earlier, in the show, is that when you associate animals and Native Americans, you kind of think of certain animals, right? You think of like wolves and bears and eagles, turtles, coyotes, buffalo, and the Humane Society of the United States does good work for all of those animals and all other animals, farmed animals, domestic animals, all kinds of animals. But I just wanted to give our new audience, Chicago and Madison, a little bit of background on HSUS, or the Humane Society of the United States. So most places where you live have a, like an animal humane society in the area where you live, where you can go and you can adopt a cat or a dog. And that's great. We need all of those local humane societies. And people sometimes get confused, right? It's very confusing because of our name, the Humane Society of the United States. You really think that that's what we do as well, but it's not, at all, what we do. Although sometimes in cases of disasters such as like hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes and things like that, the Humane Society of the United States will go in and work with local humane societies to get animals to a safe spot. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what the Humane Society of the United States has worked on locally in Minnesota and also nationally and worldwide. So they're all over the world. So just a couple of things that we have worked on here. And for instance, in St. Paul, I, in fact, worked on this with the Humane Society of the United States and other local animal advocacy people. And we worked on a humane pet store ordinance. And what that is that it ends the sale of dogs and cats in pet stores that come from puppy mills and kitten mills. And people don't even know that there are kitten mills, but there are. So we have passed this local ordinance in Carver City, St. Paul, Eden Prairie, and in Roseville. So how we did that was we got in touch with our local city council members and talked to them about the importance of doing this, and that's how we got that done. The St. Paul City Council unanimously passed the resolution to condemn wildlife killing contests. So those are contests that give prizes and money prizes and other types of prizes to go out, to give out for people to go out and kill the most amount of coyotes, the biggest coyote, the smallest coyote, the youngest coyote. So the St. Paul City Council ordinance, we got that done here in St. Paul. We need to get that done in the rest of Minnesota because they do these kind of killing contests quite often.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It wouldn't be a contest if the animals had a gun.
Exactly.
To fight back.
Absolutely. Also, the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board voted unanimously to prioritize non-lethal methods to mitigate conflicts with beavers. So just like small things where people just want to go out and kill the beavers because they're building dams and causing the rivers and streams to back up. But instead, what happened was people went out and they painted this deterrent on some of the trees so that it would deter the beavers. And then they left some without that deterrent so the beavers could take that. But also, the Humane Society of the United States also works on things nationally and worldwide. So even I'm reading from the Humane World, which is Kitty Block, who is the CEO and president of the Humane Society of the United States. And I always giggle at the fact that her first name is Kitty. So that's Kitty Block. And she writes here, each year trained responders from the Humane Society of the United States and Humane Society International enter disaster zones to rescue and rehabilitate affected animals. Over the years, our teams have responded swiftly and effectively to situations ranging from hurricanes to earthquakes to floods to erupting volcanoes. They have worked with law enforcement officials in dozens of cases to rescue animals trapped in horrible situations of cruelty and neglect. And I always say on my bucket list is to be trained to be one of these responders, to go into a disaster zone and to get animals out. So maybe, hopefully, I'll do that soon before I get too old. But in 2020, despite the challenges posed by the pandemic, their teams covered tremendous amount of ground, helping wildlife and companion animals from Australia to Beirut, from Florida to Oregon, and many places in between. So they work all over the world. Some of the situations in 2020, I don't know how much time I have left, but...
You're good.
Okay.
You'll
awesome.
Hear the music. I'll have the music come up.
Okay,
I'm all ready.
So I just wanted to briefly talk about some of the situations where HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Humane Society International, which are brother and sister type teams that work together. Remember the horrible fires that happened in Australia, Kangaroo Island, in Beirut, Lebanon, when they had that massive explosion. HSUS and HS International worked together to get those animals out. Let's see here. They transported 557 animals out to shelters. So we're not adopting out cats and dogs. We're working on legislation and all over the world.
Awesome. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you've been listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plentycoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'd like to thank Oglemaw, Wendy, Nancy Bolio, Dan Jourdain, Thumpini Gigi for being on, and we'll talk to you and see you tomorrow. This has been Native Roots Radio.
Hi, it's Tom. Solar power is more important than ever as a long-term investment for yourself and your community. And that's why I trust All Energy Solar.